Lexi here. Dup, dup, dup. That's an odd phrase, Lexi. Or blank your name here. Or maybe it's not strange. I just think it feels awkward coming out of my mouth. But then again, every time I intro an audio, I feel like it's awkward coming out of my mouth. I feel like everything coming out of my mouth is awkward because I'm awkward. Also, this recording is going to be awkward. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what is happening to the words coming out of my mouth right now. Anyway. I haven't had enough sleep. It's been a real rough week. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. November 2016 challenge. Sweet serenades and relaxing rambles. This is going to be a mess. I promise you right now, this is going to be a mess. So run while you can. What's that quote by Dante? Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. That's what I'm doing for you right now. Like, right fucking now. Because this is going to be a mess. I might cry. I don't know. I feel like there's a good chance I might cry. But either way, I know this audio for right now. I just know off the bat it's going to be a mess. Like, not even like a low-key mess. It's going to be high-key, messy as fuck. I am a mess right now. And I don't know what words are coming out of my mouth. Anyway, so singing or rambling or talking about your first love. This is going to be the last two. I'm going to ramble about my first love. And that is, this is going to be odd because I've never done that before. I knew him a couple years ago and I've never actually just sat down and talked about him before. Not really, I don't think. And I don't know why. You think I would, but I haven't. And so this is really new to me, which is partially the reason why I'm even doing this. Maybe it'll be cathartic. I hope it will be. Maybe this will provide some sort of closure. I don't know what closure it would provide, but I'm hoping. Jesus. This is a bad story. I don't like this story. Anyway, so my first love was this boy. I don't know why I say boy. He wasn't actually a boy. He's 11 years older than me. He was more of a man, if anything. Or at least that's what my friends would say when they were saying he was too old for me. But whatever. His name was Edward. And I'm not afraid to call him that because though Edward was part of his name, he never went by that. He hates the name Edward, which is partially why that's what I'm going to refer to him here. Haha, I'm still salty. Anyway. Oh, this is a mess. Oh, God, kill me. No, to God, don't kill me. Not at least not until I finish this fucking thing that I started. So, I never actually met him, either. Met is the wrong word. Encountered, perhaps. I encountered Edward when I was 17 years old. We never met because we met online. When I was 17 years old, and this is the first terrible part of my messy fucking story. When I was 17, in the summer after my junior year, I was like, you know what, I'm really insecure, and I think I'm really ugly, and I hate myself, and everything about my body. So I'm going to start posting pictures of myself on Gone Wild to raise my self-esteem. This was a bad plan, and it is one of the more questionable decisions I have made in my life. Like, it might be the number one. Maybe there's a couple that are vying for the top spot, but that one is definitely, it's definitely a contender. It was not a smart thing that I did. For one thing, it was illegal. Technically, not even technically, just straight out, you're not supposed to do that shit when you're 17. Pretty sure that's breaking, like, two laws or something. But I did not care, because I wanted attention. Yeah, 17-year-old Lexi was an attention whore. Fucking hated 17-year-old Lexi. 17-year-old Lexi did a ton of stupid shit. A ton of. Albeit the Gunwild posting was
like the top one. Anyway. Oh, God. And I remember Edward was one of, if not the first person, he wasn't the first person to message me, no. But he was one of them. And I don't know what I expected. I guess when I was 17, I just thought, oh, I'm going to meet people. There are boys talking to me. Boys never talk to me. What is this? What? When I was, I had just been rejected when I was 17. I had just been rejected like 2 months ago because that was high school for me. Just being rejected left and right. I'm sort of used to it now. I was like, oh, there's boys talking to me. That's interesting. That's new. I'm just going to try this new thing out. I should not have tried that new thing out. And I remember thinking that, okay, like 95% of these, I don't want to talk to because either they were just really gross messages or they had incorrect spelling or grammar, or their messages were just dick pics, just so many dick pics, or they were a combination of all three, just any of those things. Blark. And then there was this one person that messaged me, and it was short, it was sweet. There was no fucking dick pic attached, thank the heavens. And it had proper grammar and spelling, which was such a big thing for me when I was 17. I was such a grammar snob, like, my entire adolescence. What did the message say? Why am I even deliberating? I know what the message said, I just don't want to say it. It was, the tagline was hello, and the message was, if I remember a word for it correctly, it was, let's just say I fell a little bit in love with you. And I don't know why. I was stupid, I was, why am I saying I was stupid? I am stupid, but I was stupid and 17, and that was just at some level deep inside of me, that was what I wanted to hear. I wanted someone to look at me and like me, want me anything, want anything to do with me whatsoever, because that was not a feeling that I had ever had before. I don't know. Stupid shit. I'm... Can't see me, but I'm just doing the shrugging motion because I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And that was, I actually remember the date too. It was June 8th, 2013. 13, yes, because summer of junior year. June 8th. And we just talked every day since then. We talked every single day, constantly. And we didn't stop for like 6 months? No, not even 6 months. We would talk back and forth on Reddit PMs for about a month. And then he was like, I want to hear your voice. And I was like, I hate my voice. No, let's not do that. But I think we did end up talking on a Skype call like 2 weeks after that. And I remember being so absolutely enchanted. Because I'm socially awkward now, but I was even worse when I was in high school. Like, it is a marvel I had any friends in high school. And I remember I just hated talking to people. And not only did I hate it, I just wasn't really capable of doing it. I remember I just had this huge thing about having one-on-one conversations with people. Just awful. Just, I was terrible at it and I was frightened of it to hell. It's one of the reasons that I didn't want to talk to him on voice for so long. I was like, how am I going to talk to him when there's no pauses for which I can formulate a response. It's just going to be voices, and there's going to be no time for me to think. What am I going to do? But at the same time, I also really want to hear his voice. Other than from, like, the vocal room voice messages we would send each other, I just really wanted to hear his voice. And he said, I want to get to know you better. I want to hear your voice. And I was like, okay, because when have I ever said no to people that I love? When have I ever done that? And so after we had been talking back and forth every day for like 6, 7, maybe 8 weeks, I waited until a day where I didn't have the children, which is so rare. I didn't have the children. My parents weren't home. It was Saturday, so I just had a whole bunch of hours to clean the house, do my homework, and do whatever with the empty house, and do whatever was apparently talking Ripton. I just called him by his actual name because I'm a dumb shit. Anyway, Edward, I'm still gonna try. I don't know what I'm doing. I should edit that out later, but I still don't really know how to edit things out, so fuck my life. I remember being so nervous and almost hanging up when it was ringing. I did not hang up. I stayed on the phone and we talked for 9 hours. 9 hours. That was the longest one-on-one conversation I had ever held with another person. And still is the longest one-on-one conversations I've ever held with another person. That's a big thing with me, that I can just talk back and forth with someone for that long. And it's a big thing to me that someone would stay online with me that long. Sorry, lost in thought for a second there. Words. Oh, I feel like I should have thought this out better before I pressed the record button, but I finally have the house to myself for like about an hour or so. And then still just talked every day. And it was hard because he didn't live in America, he lived in Japan. And I feel like I should talk a little bit more about Edward now, because he is sort of the focus of this audio, and I realize I haven't really said anything about him. Edward is one of his names, it's part of his name. Hates going by it, though he hates that name, because it's his grandfather's name. He lived in Japan when I started talking to him. He lived in Japan for the entirety of the pseudo-relationship that we had. I don't even know what to call it. But he was originally from England. And he had the accent to match. He had the accent, and I have always been weak for accents. I remember telling Colette when I finally braved up and told her, hey, the boy I'm interested in right now is this boy I met online, because she hates stuff like that. And when I finally was brave enough to tell her about him, what I told her was, imagine that you asked me to make a list of all the attributes of my perfect partner. There would be things on this list like, no, imagine that you asked me to make two separate lists. There's one, all the attributes I desire in, all the attributes that I find necessary in my desired partner. And then there's another list of things that I would like in a partner that would be really nice, but, you know, not necessary. Those would be too much to ask for. Edward was everything on both of those fucking lists, and it was so not fair, and it was great, and I was like, wow, someone like this actually fucking exists. That's incredible. Because he was handsome, and he was sweet, and he was smart, and he was articulate. He was very, very articulate. I always loved that about him, and he was very smart, and he was very interesting. And he loves
cooking, and he loved children. Children was one of his passions in life. When he worked in Japan, he was a kindergarten teacher because he just loves kids, and he was a good teacher. He would always talk to me about the kids at the kindergarten he taught at, and just how all of them were, sometimes they were little shits, but he still loved them so much. Here comes emotions. Oh, great. Fuck emotions, man. Fuck that shit. And he's just smart. He was nerdy, and we would talk about video games and books and opinions and our lives and movies. And he loved talking about music too, and technology. He was one of the biggest fucking technology nerds you'll ever fucking meet. He loved fucking just picking up random things in Akihabara and taking them apart to figure out how they worked, or picking up just random parts and just building things. Like, that's what he would do on his days off. He would cook, he would listen to some music, and he would just tinker with electronics and see what he could make. One time he built his own video game controller that looked sort of like the control pad of one of those vintage, like, the arcade games. It looked like one of those. It was like a box, like, about a foot long. And he just built that, and he was so proud. I remember that. I was so happy because he was so happy. Oh, he was so proud. Painted himself and everything. He had such a blast with that. I forgot where I was. And then he was all those things, and he was everything else. Like, he had this adorable curly black hair and these amazing green eyes. And ever since I have been like 10 years old, I've been a sucker for dark curly hair and green eyes. That combination just kills me every fucking time. And he had an accent, he had an English accent. I fucking loved his accent so fucking much. That fucking asshole. Oh, it was an amazing accent. I've been a sucker for accents ever since, and I've just had a particular soft spot for English accents ever since. And he had a motorcycle! A motorcycle! I fucking love guys on motorcycles, guys. I just do. It's so cheesy and it's so cliche, but guys on motorcycles! Like, bro! Damn! I don't know. I'm really tired. I'm just so tired. Like, really tired. I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. And that is, I need more than that. So, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I lost my train of thought. My train of thought is just completely derailed. But in summary, he was perfect for me. Like, I thought that. Like, when I was just talking to him, I was like, that's how I was like, because words, I'm incapable of them. And then, oh god, so much happened, and I remember we were pseudo together. I'm gonna use that word a lot because we weren't ever actually together. God, and I remember there was this one other thing that made him perfect for me, and it's sort of really personal and weird, but I've been personal and weird with like so many of you that I don't even fucking care. Okay, I care a little bit, but I'm just gonna keep talking. Ever since I was like 13 years old, I have this thing about, I'm just trying to think how to word this phrase. I've always had this thing about jealousy. Like, the concept of a boy being jealous over me is like the greatest fucking thing in the world to me. Like, ever. It's never happened, and I acknowledge, like,
from the viewpoint of an adult, that jealousy in a relationship can often be very toxic and unhealthy and is the mark of some emotional instability there that really needs to be dealt with, because that's not a thing that can be normalized, okay? Overly jealous partners can be an extremely unhealthy thing. But damn if it's not my favorite thing in the entire world. Like, all my favorite fan fictions online have some element of, like, a jealous main character in them, because it's just something that I've always adored. And that was something that I really hated about myself until I met Edward. Like, I really hated it, because what kind of shitty person am I? Well, then again, I hated myself before I met him, and I hated myself for a long time, and I stopped hating myself when I was with him for a while, but that's... And that's always been a thing with me. Like, ever since started finding out who I am, and ever since I started growing up, like, jealousy has been a thing that has just always stuck on me. Like, that's the thing that I want to see, that I want, not that I want to feel. I don't want to feel jealousy. I felt jealousy before. It is an ugly feeling. But when it is felt by someone for me, that's, like, great. Of course, I wouldn't actually know that, because it's never actually really happened other than with Edward, but whatever. And so, when I met him, that was something that I had just been, like, tampering deep down in me, because I just hated it, and I thought it was a bad thing. And then, I meet this person who sort of gets off on being jealous. And then I was like, wow. Wow, okay. I don't know what's happening here. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing, but I don't know what's happening here. Yeah, Edward sort of had, like, a cuckold fetish, and it was sort of great, and I sort of loved it and indulged it whenever I could. Because, I don't know. I'm a bad person. I don't know. Never told anyone that before. I don't know what I'm doing. Should I delete this? No, I don't think I'm going to delete it, but I am nervously sweating now. God damn, this fucking long sleeve shirt. But I'm not going to turn on the fan because that'd be really loud. Yeah. So that was how we met. And that's how we started really talking. We talked on Skype every day after that. And I remember my senior year was arguably one of the happiest years of my life. Like, except for, like, maybe the years of my life when I was, like, 2. And I was happy because I was a baby and I didn't know better. No, my senior year was just presently and consciously the happiest year of my life. Because I was not in a bad place. I was in this high school that I really loved. That's a lot different from when I was in elementary middle school. I went to really shitty elementary middle schools where I got bullied a lot. But my high school, I really loved my high school. It was filled with people who were nerds like me. And it was really challenging, but I was still doing okay. Like, I took 4 AP courses in my senior year, and I still graduated with a 3.45 GPA, which was great for me. I mean, I didn't get straight A's like my mom would have wanted, but 3-point-something GPA, that's gotta stand for something. I didn't get kicked out of my school. Because you get kicked out of my school if you have lower than 2.0. I didn't get kicked out, so that in itself is great. And I was just surrounded by these great friends that I could hang out with every day. And I had my brother and sister. I had all these good things. And I had this boy that I spoke to whenever I woke up. I had all these great people, and I had this person who was the first person I talked to when I woke up and the last voice I heard before I went to sleep. And you're going to hear me talk a lot of shit about Edward, and you're going to hear me talk a lot of shit about that time and about what he did and what happened to us. But truth of the matter is, I have never been happier than that period of time where I loved him. And just one of the great things about me loving him was that he
He didn't love me back. He never loved me back, but he did care about me a lot. He did care about me. He was attracted to me. And, you know, at some point that was enough. That was all I really wanted because I was never going to ask for more than that. I did end up asking for that anyway because I'm also a greedy and terrible person and lots of things. He didn't love me back. But he did tell me I was beautiful. And he told me I was sweet. And he told me that I was all these things that at that point, I had never really been told before. I had been told offhand that I was beautiful or I was pretty by, like, my friends. Like, my friends would tell me that. No boy had ever really told me that before. And the great thing about being in the situation was he would tell me these things that I never believed about myself. I did not think I was beautiful or any... Y'all know how I am now about compliments. I was even worse when I was 17. As bad as I am now, I was even worse in high school. And I never believed those things when other people said them, but I believed him. When he said it, I believed it. And that was really powerful for me. Even if we weren't really together, even if I wasn't... I don't know where I'm going with this anymore. But I believed him when he said I was beautiful and that I was desirable when I was worth it. He would say those things and I would believe him. And that made me really, really happy. Immeasurably so. I've never been happier than that time. And I... Ah, God, this is so nostalgic. this is a mess. I just do not know. Sorry, my phone is vibrating. Like, other Lexi is texting me a lot. I'm gonna talk to her later. She might even listen to this later, and then I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm ignoring your messages, other Lexi. I'm doing this thing that you are currently listening to. Haha, I love you. And then, so, up until, like, November of my senior year, up until, like, November, like, those first 5 months, I was very happy. I was very, very incredibly happy. There was just this relationship thing that I thought was going on. And at this point, I had fallen in love with him. I'm pretty damn sure, like, totally, completely, immeasurably so. Just, head over heels is such a great phrase. It's a very apt descriptor of what I was feeling, of what that feeling is. Just head over heels. And had I told him at that point? I probably had. I don't know. I actually lost. There is no timeline for the story that is working. Like, in the telling of the story, there is no timeline that is working. I'm just blind at this point. But for the first, like, 5 or 6 months, I was very happy. I'm pretty sure I had fallen completely in love with him at that point. I loved him so much. I didn't go to sleep unless I heard his voice. He was the first person I texted when I woke up. I dreamed about him a couple times. They were very nice dreams. And I remember thinking, like, I want to find some way to meet him and to see him. And we joked about it a little bit. Like, he would joke, like, oh, I've always wanted to go to New Orleans. I should, you know, finally do that. And we would joke about it, but I was like, I'm starting college in half a year. Gosh, I would just love... I wonder if I can take, like, a semester and go abroad to Japan and just go see him. I wonder if that's a thing that I could do. And I was so hopeful and I was so silly to think that whatever we had would continue on for another year. Wow. God, I'm stupid. Was stupid. Am stupid. Really, it's both. Anyway. Memories. And so, yeah, the first, like, 6-5 months were very happy. And initially, I did not think that there was a problem. Oh, God, there were so many problems, but I didn't think there was a problem. So, I knew that Edward had an ex. There was a girlfriend that was in the picture, but what he told me was they were broken up. He said they were broken up. She had initially lived with him in Japan, but she didn't like Japan. So she went home to her family in Canada. I'm sure that this is starting to sound more familiar to y'all when I mentioned the girlfriend in Canada. Yeah, y'all have heard this before, but I don't care. Oh, I am 31 minutes into this. I am not stopping until I am... Yeah. And so, I knew she existed. I didn't know that she was in any way prevalent. In my head, he was not attached. Neither was I. I thought his only attachment was me. Which is how that would have been nice. It wasn't necessarily the case, though. And now that I'm remembering it, he went on a couple of dates, too. He went on dates while he was... Well, he and I were talking. I never would have gone on a date, but he did. And then I would feel jealous. And then he'd be like, it's okay, though, because it's really casual, and you're my favorite. Which, in hindsight, is sort of a sketchy fucking thing to say. But I was 17 and insecure and willing to eat up whatever I would ever be given. Because I had no self-respect as a 17-year-old. I have barely any self-respect now as a 20-year-old. But definitely none as a 17-year-old. Mm-mm. And then I'm trying to place the timeline here. I'm trying to like remember any details that I might be missing out because I want to give you all the full story. I'm finally talking about this. I just want to give you all the full story. But gosh, I think just one day in January, was January? It was something like January. Because I remember this was after Christmas, but like just barely after Christmas, like around New Year's, I think. He was like, we really have to call. We really have to call each other. And I was like, okay. Because that should have been really foreboding, but it wasn't. Because I was just in this really happy place at that time. I had this person that I loved and thought maybe I could be with. And January 2014, I had just brought home straight A's on my report card. Like, oh my God. But, yeah. He's like, we have to talk. And then I found out things. For one thing, he and the girlfriend weren't so much broken as separated. Yeah, those two words I learned that day. Entirely different concepts. Mm-hmm. And they were no longer going to be separated. They talked, and he would be moving to Canada to be with her. And I'm trying to remember details about this, about anything before it, to make it not seem
as out of the blue as I'm describing it, but I can't recall any. To my memory, this was just completely out of the blue. And I remember being like, oh, okay, that's nice. I'm very happy for you. I was not very happy for him. That was a lie. But that's what I said. I was like, that's nice. Yeah, and I hung up and I started crying. Oh God, I cried so much. I remember him being like, I know you're crying. I could hear it in your voice. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. I said the thing I'm supposed to say. That's really all I can do. And it was, oh dear, that was, I don't even really know how to describe how that felt. It was a thing that happened. Honestly, this was 2 years, 2 years ago? One, two, no. Jesus Christ, that was almost 3 years ago. 3 years ago. That was almost 3 years ago. Damn. Huh. That's right. I was 17. So, yeah, it's like 3 years ago. And I remember what hurt about that wasn't really so much the fact that, oh, there's this girlfriend that I sort of did not know about. And there's this thing that's happening that is very jarring and must have been talked about that I also know. What hurt the most was this realization that, wow, I've been really stupid because I thought that this, let's see, I was 17 at the time, so he was about 27, 29, somewhere around there. He's like 11 years older than me. I was like, I was really stupid. I thought at this man who was so much older than me and so much cooler and smarter and more mature, I thought this man that said all these nice things about me, I thought he actually wanted to be with me. I thought that there was the possibility of something there because I was very emotionally invested in this. I loved him. And then I think I was struck very suddenly by the realization he was never going to love me back. Because at that point, I had hope. Because he still flirted and he still said all these wonderful things about me. And we still talked every day because we cared about each other. I think I had hope. And it was that day that that all those hopes were dashed. And I realized how stupid I was for ever having had that hope, because no way was he ever actually going to sincerely want me. And I was a naive little child for actually seriously entertaining that possibility. Okay, saying all that out loud was not as cathartic as I had hoped. Just made me sad. I was already sort of sad today, but I'm just sadder now. Okay. What else is there? I feel like there's more. No, there is more. There's really so much more. There was so much more in that denouement of that whatever relationship was that just affected me. I cried a lot. So much crying. Tons of crying. I'm a crybaby, y'all. I cry a lot. I don't think I'm gonna cry now, though. That's pretty good. Or really, who knows? Maybe I just jinxed myself. There is just one incident that sticks out in particular that I think of,
and it always comes to mind when I think about Edward. Always. There was this time. Because after he told Other Lexi, is that you? That is Other Lexi. I'm going to put that aside over here. I love you, Other Lexi. Because after he told me about her, I'm going to call her A, because I'm not going to give y'all her actual name. Or I'm going to try not to. It'll probably slip out at some point. After he told me about A, he still wanted to talk, because I was in love with him, and we were somewhat sexually involved. We were also best friends. He told me he considered me as one of his best friends. We still talked every day, because I don't know, I have no self-respect. I for some reason thought, oh, I'm just going to cling to this person that I have no chance with, because that's all I'm going to get. I don't know. I'm so desperate for affection or for anything from Edward that I'll just be here no matter what. That sounds like something I would do. That's exactly what I did. I still do that. What am I talking about? But being friends with him took a significantly different tone after that confrontation, because I just became increasingly more distressed as the weeks went on. And I remember at some point, I don't remember when this was, I think it was around May. So he was about to move. It was around May where I was just, I think I was crying again. He dealt with me crying so much, that poor dick. I cried so much. I don't know. I think I was talking about how I had initially thought, oh, there was some hope. How I confessed that I thought there was the possibility for something real, for something possibly permanent there. And he was just like, no, I'm so sorry. You were perfect. You were you and you were perfect. But there's nothing that you could have done to make this outcome any different. I am going to be with my girlfriend, and I was always going to be with her. And there's nothing that you, as this person that I met on the internet, really could have done at this point to change that. And that was a fact. There's no way that I was going to change that, because this is me we're talking about here. But I just remember at that point thinking, so even with me being as I am, me being all these things that he said about me, which is beautiful and sweet and heart of gold, perfect, I wasn't enough. Because that's what I took from that. That's what I've always taken from that. And that still sticks with me, that I tried and I wanted to be this person that was enough. Because being in love with him made me that. It was funny. I wanted to be enough. I wanted to be good enough. I wanted to be the best person I could be for him so I could be with him. But being with him made me feel like I didn't have to be anyone different. I wanted to be the best person I could be that was possibly worthy of him, but he made me feel like that was who I already was. I didn't have to change me to be enough. That was a really good feeling as long as it lasted. But in the conversation that I was actually talking about just now, there was nothing. That feeling was gone. Long forgotten. I just hit the box that I use as my nightstand. Whoops. That feeling was long forgotten, because all I was thinking was, so, me, and all these good things that you said about me, and all these things that you said worked and were amazing. It's not enough. I'm not enough no matter how hard I try. I'm just not good enough. And then when I think about that, oh god, this is so fucking whiny and fucking emo, this fucking audio. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. This audio is gonna be so fucking stupid, god help me. And then when I think about that incident, I always think about another one that we had. Same context, this was after he told me that he was moving to Canada, but before he actually went. Because when he finally moved to Canada, we stopped talking almost immediately. Another conversation happened was, I don't actually know what we were talking about beforehand. I don't know what he was feeling. But I think he was getting tired of me crying. And it was one of the first not nice things he'd ever said to me, was that I was too much for him. I was cute, and I was beautiful, and all the good things, but I was also too devoted. I was too devoted, and I was willing to do whatever for him, and that scared him, I think was the word he used. Or he didn't want that. That was too much to handle. And so I'll be looking back on him, and I'll be looking back at those two conversations. I'm just like, how am I simultaneously too much to handle and not enough? How? What? Why are you like this, Lexi? I hate you. Yeah, that's how that conversation usually goes in my head. But then again, that's how, like, a lot of conversations in my head go. Let's be real. Oh, I'm a sad, pathetic human being. Anyway. I lost track of this. I don't know. Is there an end to there really is? Well, I don't know. And yeah. And that was just sort of it. I was in love with him for a really long time. I was in love with him for almost a year. And around May, he left Japan. He went back to England for a while to visit his family and stuff, and moved to Canada, where he is currently living very happily with his girlfriend. Y'all have heard this before. They have two lovely cats, and they are very happy together. And I should be happy about that. That he's happy. I should. Because I try very hard to be a good person. And to be kind. And I think eventually I will be happy for him. I will want what's only best for him. But I can't. Not right now. And it's not even... I think progress has been made because I don't even really sincerely want him to be happy with me. I don't even really want that because I'm a different person now than I was 3 years ago. I'm a vastly different person and he is a different person. People change and we didn't change together. We didn't change in tandem. So if I were to call him up again, we'd be different. There's no promise that would work. I don't even think it would because I don't know. I don't know what I want for him. I really don't. I mean, I am incredibly bitter when I look back, when I look at his Instagram, which I really need to stop doing. I really do. He still follows me on Instagram for some reason. I don't know. I don't know what I want for him. I think most of the time I just sort of
want answers? Because to this day, I don't really know what I was to him. And I know what the people around me say that, well, not the people around me so much, because not a lot of people really know about him. I know Colette is like, he's a predator. You were predatored on. He was a creeper. And he is very good that he is out of your life. And that, and she thinks, well, she at least implies, you'll never really go out far to say this, but you weren't really anything. You weren't really anything to him. You were probably just someone fun. And that might be it. Because I remember there was this one time. It was around the time that he was going to move. And we had started drifting apart. I had started pulling away because talking to him every day was hurting too much. I had started pulling away. He's like, I don't want you to do that. I was like, why? For God's fucking sake, why not? And he's like, because it's too quiet without you around in my life. Because my life is too quiet without the people I care about, without you. And I don't want that. I want you around. He was saying that life is just sort of boring without me around. And so I guess he likes having me around to entertain him to stave away loneliness. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. Okay. No. Well, back then. Excuse me. Oh my. And I guess 17-year-old Lexi was okay with that. 17-year-old Lexi was like, okay. I mean, if I serve some kind of purpose, that's great. I'll take what I can get. 20-year-old Lexi is like, what the fuck were you thinking? No. And so, oh god, how the fuck have I been talking for an hour? What the fuck? Jesus Christ, I am going to listen back on this and cringe and probably delete it. Or maybe send it to Vamp so she doesn't let me delete it. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah. That was the story of my first love. The sad, pathetic little story it is. Of how 17-year-old Lexi technically broke the law and got what was coming to her. Mm-hmm. Because I did technically break the law. I am... Ha-ha. Yep. That's what I, yeah, I sort of did get what was coming to me, probably-ish. I don't know, I feel like someone's gonna get mad at me for saying that. Anyway. So yeah, he is in Canada now. He's very happy. His girlfriend is very beautiful. I've seen pictures of her now. She's quite beautiful. Very tall, model-esque. They have cats. He's very happy. He works for a technology company now, which, although he would have preferred to stay a teacher, working in a technology company, some software developer something, or internet provider, I forget which, allows him to provide better. And I know this because we did talk, the last time we talked to him was like a year ago. He was like, I miss you, can we talk? And so we talked for like an hour, and it was really weird. Like, surreal? Not surreal in a way. Like, it felt surreal. And vaguely uncomfortable. I remember the last time we talked, that it was that call, and it was like a couple of chat conversations on Skype afterwards, where he was like, so, if I went down to California, would you come see me? Like, if my girlfriend were gone and I was in the area, would you come hang out with me and give me a tour? I'd be like, fuck no. I don't know why I say I'd be like, fuck no. I was like, that's what I said. I was like, no, absolutely not. He was like, why not? I was like, because I don't want to. I do not want to.
And thinking back on that, that was a satisfying experience. That was a satisfying experience, being like, no, if I had the opportunity to see you, if you fucking drove down to my fucking neighborhood just to fucking see me, I wouldn't even fucking open the door for you. Mm-mm. Which might be a little bit cold. I might say that out of bitterness, because I am a little bitter, but I don't know. I don't get to be bitter very often, so I'm going to revel in it a little bit while I can. No, no. Maybe I would open the door. Just so maybe I could get some answers. But I'd slam the door first, because how fun would that be? Who gets to slam the door on the first love that jilted them? Like, seriously. Well, this has been a mess. And I'm a mess. But I did not cry, so I'm gonna count it as a win. Bye, everyone.